The Rancor's Brothel presents a Dungeons & Dragons adventure. Nev Thelian. No, so far of the siblings, Bernhold is my favorite. He's not a dick.
I know, right? I'm waiting for the shoe to drop.
I mean, the sister really wasn't that bad. She just was stubborn and didn't want to leave where she was living. But she didn't ask anything of us.
We decided while you were out, Jeff, that Tristan is a huge dick.
Oh, yeah. I'm shocked that nobody else questioned the fact that we were attacked by his water elementals and becalmed on the sea.
Well, two and two is there.
But to be fair, he used ice. I guess I didn't necessarily connect that would necessarily be a water spell, but he connected all those dots for us about how they're the fucking planeteers of Obed High on the Greensong Isles.
However, Nushka can't really point fingers.
They were a party, an adventure party like us, until they took a elemental arrow to the knee.
Of mages, okay? Of mages. Intelligent, clever people. Probably good looking like myself.
Yeah, they were mages who gained the favor of Obadai.
Correct.
Yeah.
You look like a skeleton then, Cody? Kellen looks like a skeleton.
Hey, they look pretty good for being 2,000 years old. How are you going to look when you're 2,000 years old, Craig?
I don't know. Probably covered in rust.
I remember you telling me that there's a door like somewhere down here, so Kellen wants to go take a look.
Yeah. You open that up to find literally just like a 5x10 foot room with a single chair in it. That's it.
I sit in the chair.
Is there a hole in the seat?
In where? Hole in where? Oh, no, there's not.
Okay.
I sit on Kellen's lap.
This is the lap dance room.
You're a very heavy warforged.
The chair is now kindling, and my legs are now broken.
No, it appears to be just like an empty room with a chair in it, very quiet and dark.
This is bullshit. I'm looking for Jeff, I guess there are a lot of movie buffs in this room. Was it Casper, where there was a fucking lever next to the chair, and the chair rotated down into a secret room?
Yes.
All right, where's the fucking lever, Dave? Spot hidden.
That might have also been Adam's family?
Possibly, yes.
And if you want to investigate the room, you can.
I also want to investigate the room with detect magic.
Okay. You spend 5 minutes or so, like, going over the room high and low. Like, there's gotta be something! There isn't something. It's just an empty room.
All right, well, that.
Dave, what about this room midway down the hallway? Have you already mentioned that one, the one that I'm in now?
That one appears to have an altar on one end, and then there are several mats on the floor that look like they're probably there for kneeling petitioners.
The altar there looks like it has a bunch of holes in it?
Yes. That are each one has the symbol of the goddess inside it.
So what if we all stand around it and all put our dicks in each of the holes at the same time?
Well, first off...
Wait, says the Warforged.
I was going to say, maybe he has an attachment, but unless Nushka has a strap on, we're going to have a problem with too few dicks in this situation, Craig.
I am fully functional, as Data would say.
Does it look like a bowl would fit, like, roughly right here?
I mean, it would fit, but there isn't one there.
They're just holes into the table in a ring? Well,
they're more like dents.
Oh, dents. Okay.
Just like indentations with the symbol inside.
Like for legs for a bowl.
Hey, Alec, come assume this position.
They're like half dollar sized. They're not significantly large.
Okay. What about this room in between?
Over here? Appears to be full of stores, probably for the kitchen across the way. So there's like a bunch of rice. And some spices and bread that has long since molded away, flour that is in a little better condition, salt, all those sorts of things.
Any sign of a bowl in this particular room?
You see some mugs, but not a bowl.
So, Bernholt, buddy.
Yes.
Just to get this straight. You have no idea where this magic cistern of holy water is.
Your Warforged friend already asked me about that, and I proffered my opinion, but I do not know.
Now, is that an honest answer, or are we playing games here? Because I like to play games, so if you don't play games, we play games. I just figured I'd ask.
Why would I have need of a bowl, basin?
Advancement of the plot.
Okay. Is this a wall in between this hallway and the where I'm moving Nushka?
Oh, that is the grate, the iron grate. So you can see through it down into the hall. You couldn't get through unless you
okay. Become. Okay, I gotcha.
Hence the shadows on the floor, which yep. I'm
gotcha.
Kind of proud of.
Yeah, they look good.
I will head back down. Me a minute. I will head back downstairs to go look around nearby the Great Hall, as suggested by Bernholt for said basin.
The only other thing looking out from the second level that you noticed that you didn't notice before is that dangling above the statue, the broken statue, is a fairly large chandelier.
That's a very cool image, by the way. I liked it.
So you guys want to go back down to the first floor?
I do.
Yeah.
I don't know that I do. I probably am going to sit and bullshit with Bernholt.
Okay.
Hey, if you stay up there, you have line of sight through that grate.
Oh, no. That's definitely a consideration, Jeff. I can be invisible and misty step through that thing in a goddamn heartbeat.
Yep.
You end up back on the first floor, most of you. Presumably back in this great hall, broken statue, nest in the corner. There's a big, the head of the statue is laying next to the broken statue. That's part of the brokenness.
Okay.
Is your aim to just look around? Do you want to make investigation checks?
How about somebody do detect magic in here? Because I don't think anybody ever did.
I've got Wand of Secrets.
One thing detect magic is blocked by a foot of stone, and all these walls appear at least that thick.
Right, but we never searched this room with detect magic.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'll start by looking around in general.
And I'll start trying to move pieces of the statue, if I can, search around there.
Some of them are small enough to move by yourself, others not so much. Go ahead and make investigation checks, though.
Plus five.
That is a 15.
Okay. Craig?
I'm still looking it up.
I'm assuming that you were giving yourself the plus five.
Yes, I'm giving myself the plus five.
Okay. Then yes, 15.
16.
Okay.
21.
Okay. And Rook is going down that hallway, basically, looking in that area?
Yeah.
Okay. Rook doesn't really notice anything really too odd in that whole area, except that you feel like there's the dimensions of the Sky Island and this interior don't quite add up. Meanwhile, Nushka and possibly Alec, as you're looking around this statue and moving pieces of it and so on, you realize that this head over here is covering up almost entirely a doorway. You can just sort of see the very slivers of the corners at the top of it. But this head is one giant piece of stone in the way that probably weighs, 5 tons, something like that.
Ooh, I might have something for that.
So Bernholt, ostensibly, what would you say philosophically is the difference between you and a lich?
And what?
A lich.
Well, philosophically, motivation, methods.
Methods, I'll give you that.
Well, yes. And the moral cost?
Well, I'd argue that the moral cost to a deity is not all that different than a moral cost to putting your soul in a phylactery, but...
Well, no, I meant more that achieving lichdom often leaves a trail of bodies in its wake. I have not done so.
Yeah, that's commendable. I say tipping my pipe to him. I'm going to continue this banter. I figure I'll just toss this in whenever it gets silent from everybody else who's actually doing something.
You're cutting out really bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how that is possible.
Are your Discord settings being weird, maybe?
Not that I'm aware of.
Is the piece of stone from the statue a medium size object?
It's less than 5 feet thick, if that's what you're asking.
I mean, how heavy would be? Would you? I mean,
about 5 tons.
Could be. Oh well, that's pretty heavy.
That's about 10,000 pounds.
I'm thinking stone shape.
That is a pretty good think. The head is not that huge. Comparatively, it is, but it's not. It's not more than 5 feet deep. So that would probably do the trick.
I mean, I don't see a way for us to move it physically. I mean, there's no way. So, anybody have another think on that avenue?
So, why wouldn't stone shape work?
No, I'm saying it would. I'm just saying, do we have another idea?
No, as far as moving it, no. I don't. I mean, besides making a big lever and trying to lever it out of the way.
You said that's a spell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that one you have prepared, or do we need to rest?
Nope, I prepared it.
Oh, cool.
I kind of had a feeling. That it happens once in a blue moon. Yeah, so I'll go ahead and just cast that, and I don't know. I guess make it will shape the stone into an archway over the door. I don't know.
Okay. You could make it into an actual door if you wanted there to be a door there, or you could just do an arch. That's fine, too.
I mean, at the current moment, I can't think of a need to shut the room off, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
So Alec goes up to the head of the statue, begins chanting and casting, and a few moments later, the stone of the statue's head begins sort of melting and shaping itself into different forms, eventually just sort of rising up and forming an arch. And giving you a doorway in. And inside, you see what appears to be a largely empty room with, at one end of it, a stone altar with set into it, inside the stone, there is a silver basin that is, like, sunk into the actual stone.
I will...
It has several runes around the rim of the bowl.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and pick it up.
Okay. All right, you reach for the bowl, and you are trying to find an edge, and you can't. It is, like, literally set into this stone.
You got another one of those detect magics? Is the whole thing magical, or is it just the bowl?
Cody, don't you have a stick of detect magic?
I mean, I can detect magic as a ritual anytime.
Oh.
I'm just upstairs having philosophical and moral debates with an undead, which, considering my love of necromancy, is great.
I have detect magic.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'll detect magic as a ritual.
Hell, I could. Mine doesn't say ritual on it, though. I guess it does. Yeah, I could do it too. Shoot. forgetting I have that ability.
Are you able to cast stuff? Yeah, you are.
Yep. Yes. Clerics can ritual cast.
Okay, so you're going to spend the 10 minutes to cast it ritually?
Yeah.
Okay. Meantime, yes, Rook has figured out that they've made their way through. You probably heard the casting. And Pipsqueak sort of pokes her head through the doorway, looks at it, and says, "So this is why we're here? That looks pretty boring."
We had fun with the griffins, though.
Wait till the rolling ball shows up.
You have to put something of the exact same weight on the...
That did pop in my head, like doing the whole, you know...
So you spend a while ritual casting detect magic, and when it completes, you get a fairly strong aura off of the area of the bowl there. The stone plinth that it is embedded into does not seem to be magical.
You said stone?
What was your thought there, Jeff?
That we can bust it loose of that table and take it with us.
Having
if you've got another casting of stone shape, you could do that.
Having just used the spell, it does in fact look like that's probably how it was put there.
I guess I'll do the same thing. I mean, if that's how it was formed, then I would have a problem just using the sledgehammer and like somewhat desecrating the area, but yeah, they could just stone shape it back, I guess.
You decide to start playing a cleric now.
How many holy places have we entered before this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely willing to hit things with my hammer.
No, I'll go ahead and just burn stone shape again and shape it away from the bowl.
Okie doke. So once again, the clerical magic of Alec melts away the stone. The bowl sort of starts descending with the stone as you move it away. But eventually you've like shoved all of it to the side or made it disappear, whatever. And the bowl is just sort of resting on the floor on its own.
I'll pick the bowl up and throw it in my bag.
Your fingers tingle as you do, but nothing else happens.
All right, guys. I think we found the bowl. We can go back to the dragon.
So this bowl makes holy water, right?
It purifies.
We're told.
Ah, okay. I mean, I can ritual cast purify food and drink, so it seems kind of unimpressive to me.
I don't know. I think it... Do any of you guys have identify?
Yep.
Yeah?
I can ritual identify.
It just seems like kind of a mundane item for a dragon to be that interested in.
You mean another one of Dave's NPCs is lying to us? Shocker.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess one of the three keys to Nevthelion is relatively mundane as well, so from a trading perspective. But I'm happy to ritual identify and see if it's anything other than we've expected it to be.
Okay. Yeah, if you want, once you want to spend some time.
Yep.
Do you want to do that here?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. I mean, Kellen is still upstairs.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to keep talking to Bernholt. He's fascinating and ostensibly not a dick like his siblings thus far.
There is that.
Yeah, but wouldn't you get more in common with the dick sibling?
Nobody who, you know, is a dick thinks they're a dick, Troy.
True. It's the first rule of villains. Okay, so you spend the time identifying the bowl, which, surprise, is a bowl. But it is also capable of simultaneously... purifying food and drink. If it is water in the bowl, it will bless it and make it into holy water. And it also removes any sort of poisons in it. I think that's it for. But it will do that like infinitely, essentially. In like a round. So. If you had a whole shit ton of food or water you needed to make sure was safe or holy, it would be easy to do as opposed to spending 10 minutes on each ritual casting.
Right. So I'm going to ask Rook when he's done with it if I can see it for a minute.
Absolutely.
I'm going to take it back upstairs to where all that food was rotten and everything. Find like a dried up husk of an apple and drop it in there.
Okay. The apple appears, all of the mold on it and everything sort of falls away and sort of disappears. It appears like clean and everything now, but it still has 2 months of decay on it and it does not like bring it back to life or anything.
Oh, okay. Just curious.
You don't think it would be tasty, but you think that it would probably not hurt you. Yes.
Cool.
While you're up there, do you mention to Kellen that you've actually found what you're looking for?
No.
Nah.
Well, more importantly, I don't mention it to Bernhold.
We'll just say to Kellen, looks like the basin's not here. We gotta go.
Well, that's awful ineffective of you. Well, Bernholt, you're a fascinating NPC, so I don't imagine this is the last we will see of you. But if we do, toodles.
So are you gonna be hanging out here, Bernholt?
Oh, probably just for a few more hours. But best of luck to you. And again, I encourage you to find a different solution for Larissa. But that's your decision.
Okay. We are not familiar with these aisles. Is there someplace else that you think might be a more convenient spot to stick her?
Well, you could tell her to grow up and buy a house.
I mean, in fairness, we weren't asked to find a location for her. We were asked to ask her to leave, right?
Oh, so why?
Like, out of game. I'm just saying, Tristan asked us to just ask her to leave where she was, right?
I guess technically that's true.
Right.
So we've done that.
Well,
our mission to here get is to her, get this basin.
Tristan asked you to get her to leave, not just to ask.
Okay, that's a
whole different thing.
Yeah. So then I guess, yeah. Did he answer that question? Did we really propose the question? Do you have an idea of where we can relocate her?
Yeah, he suggested that she buy a house.
Yeah, but somehow I don't think that us telling her that she's an immature little girl is going to end well for us.
Probably not.
Well, we could always tell her via a sending spell after we've magicked ourselves 3,000 fucking miles away.
Oh, hey, wait. You said you guys are confined here to the Isles, right?
Essentially. Well.
Essentially or yes?
Well, confined is probably not the right word. More like our power is confined. We could leave if we wanted to, but our control of the elements is sort of restricted to the Isle.
Okay.
So let's fuck off.
So, I mean, if we left, we would probably just... I haven't left, actually. I've never left. I think Anne has. Anyway, we would probably just be whatever mages we would be on our own right.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And how good of a mage is Tristan?
Oh, we were
without
all...
his elemental...
This is not a brag. We were all very, very good. There's a reason we caught the attention of Obad High.
No, for real. Let's just teleport the shit out of here, Troy.
I was going to suggest using sending to say, to tell what's his name, that Larissa was gone. And
we can do that from anywhere on this plane of existence. We don't have to do that where they have power.
Nushka, that's true. Go ahead and make a persuasion check with advantage. A persuasion check with advantage.
Okay. Get my sheet.
Persuading who or what?
That's a 21.
Okay. As you're like just sort of going back and forth and suggesting things, Bernholt just sort of finally like just puts the book down on the mantelpiece and he's like, "Fine, I'll go talk to her."
You know, I like you a lot better than your siblings.
See? I've been telling you this.
I will express gratitude toward him.
In the fuck you, you're cool bit, Bernholt is the you're cool bit.
Yeah.
The two of them need to learn how to just, lots of things. Never mind. You know what? Don't worry about them. Don't worry about Tristan either. I'll make sure he knows that you've done your bit.
Cool. Much appreciated. Yeah.
All right, teleport time, guys.
Well... I think we do have a small problem with that.
Why is that?
Because I'm pretty sure I blew both 5-level spells in the fight with the griffins.
So we will have to wait until tomorrow.
Yeah.
Bernholt, do you like cards?
He's walking towards the door at this point and looks over his shoulder and is like, not particularly. In the meantime, I guess you're at the door. Anyway, it's like, I wish you all the best of success in whatever your endeavor is. Did you mention Farinaxis earlier?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I mentioned it to him, but I'm sure it would have come up as we were discussing the basin.
Well, anyway, just maybe tell him I say hi.
Oh, yeah? How do you know Farinaxis?
He is also very old.
That's kind of what I gathered. We were kind of wondering about that.
They go way back.
And his elementals just sort of float out after him. And then they just sort of, you know, like sort of phase through the iron grating that's there. And then...
Hold on. I roll a 25 on insight. Do I get a feeling that He's being cheeky with us, and like we mentioned his name, we're gonna get a swallowed by a dragon.
No, you get the feeling that it was just like, oh, that guy, I knew that guy. No, it seems just like a friendly sort of passing thing.
Okay,
this is what we've come to, that we're now suspicious of every NPC.
You weren't that way.
No,
to begin
I'm suspicious
with?
Of Dave. I wasn't suspicious of this guy up until that exact point. And then I'm like, well, we're going to go tell this dragon. Oh, hey, so-and-so says hello. And he's like, oh, that guy, fireball or something.
He's, as I say, he's Rosencrantz and Guildensterning us.
So anyway, they sort of phase through the grate there on the upper story and then float off into the distance outside the Skyland.
Skyland is such a great word.
Kellen calls dibs on the least moldy bed downstairs.
It's a great portmanteau.
Portmanteau is also a great word.
I think it originally meant dresser. Don't quote me on that. But anyway, so you are bedding down for the night in this abandoned sky monastery where griffins were roosting, correct?
I mean, it's not exactly like, a bunch of tigers are going to walk across us or random goblins. Like, it's probably more safe than plenty of other places.
Portmanteau is a combination of the French words porter, meaning to carry, and manteau, meaning cloak or mantle.
Oh, okay.
Right, but it was one of those big fold-out suitcases that had all the different compartments.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay. In the meantime, you all get your own room without having to pay for it.
Nice.
And I'm making Griffin.
How do you mean exactly?
I mean, I'm roasting Griffin.
Oh, I see. You're grabbing one of the corpses you killed. And
I thought you were cracking that egg.
Yeah, I can say I'm going to have scrambled Griffin.
I thought what he meant by making a Griffin was he was going to sit on the egg until it hatches.
Nushka is motherly instincts.
Nowhere near as dark as I thought you were going to take it.
He's not Matt, for God's sake.
Okay, so you are roasting a dead griffin. Got it.
Yes.
It probably is kind of stringy, but other than that, plenty edible. It takes forever to pluck.
I wonder what the freaking celestial griffin tastes like.
Chicken.
Yeah,
it's more pheasanty.
It is, however, like barely 9 o'clock in the morning, so you do have like an entire day ahead of you.
I would like to try and see what some of the books that were left laying around are, if any of them are still readable. I mean, if we're just going to hang out here all day.
I took up a couple of them earlier, and I remember Dave saying they were like philosophy and religion was the majority of the topics.
Things like the unconditional mysteries of the dwarfs, about like religions and pantheons and stuff. The Last Spring, a songbook. Dwarven Winter, a sad tale of the life of a destitute maiden. Rudimentary arguments on disabling devices. The finest existence of a scholar, a true heir, which is probably more up Kellen's aisle, although most of it is like torn and stained and charred by like a candle that fell and griffins chomping all over it.
Question. Mm-hmm. Does the bell detect magic? Like, if I use cast detect magic on the bell, does it seem magical?
Oh. No.
It does not. It seems very large and metallic.
I already did that earlier.
I wasn't.
And also, there's a little known thing is that if you pull a rope, that it makes a big bong sound.
Right. No. Like, I'm really fighting the urge to ring the bell right now, guys.
Right before we step into the circle?
That's significantly less exciting. Like, because here's the thing, right? The Skyland has been here for some time. Who was that bell for?
Why does it matter?
It's a mystery.
There's a thing. He wants to activate it, see what it does.
Yes.
I get it.
It's like putting a big red button in front of someone.
Yes, so you push the button. Like, because that's the thing, is like, did it really like ring the monks to service or something? I mean, they were all like one floor away. The bell tower's clearly up there to ring other people.
there was a bunch of Arakocra monks here.
Right.
They could have been flying.
I get that.
They could have been out in the air and need to be called back.
Do you never want to know for real, Jeff?
Oh, no. I'm totally cool with you ringing the bell.
How about Kellen rolls a religion check?
Well, that's... Actually, I think I have good religion.
Yeah, you're decent. That's intelligence.
I don't know. It's probably more of a neutral religion.
15.
Plus 5.
20, apparently.
You, after a while, like, of being tempted by this bell, it does eventually occur to you that, particularly in places without clocks or, you know, complicated clockwork or anything, they probably just ring the bell every hour.
It's a pretty lame excuse.
I agree that Kellen would probably think that.
All right, I'll behave. I won't ring the scary bell.
Oh, I'm absolutely going to.
When?
Right before we're ready to take the teleportation spell.
Okay, so the next morning. In the meantime, is there anything else anyone wants to do during the rest of this day?
I might fly around to a couple of the other Skylands to see if there's anything else nearby.
I'm going to sit around and teach Pipsqueak to play cards.
Which is difficult for Pipsqueak, given that she has no opposable thumbs.
Can nudge things with her nose or something.
She can sort of, like, get something in claws and sort of, like, peel cards up from the table and look at them and put them back down. Mm-hmm.
Rook will back up Kellen if Kellen's going to go flying around and exploring.
Okay. Go ahead and make perception checks.
That's not bad.
Everybody?
What?
Everyone or just the ones flying?
Just those two.
16.
31.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I'll use the plus 5 and I have a natural plus, or I have plus 7 on my perception already and I rolled 19, so.
What is that plus 5 coming from?
The intelligence bonus, the flash of genius ability.
Okay. Is that like a thing you can do a certain number of times?
5 times a day.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. So as you're flying around, Kellen, you see just a bunch of trees on top of islands. You see monkeys swinging around. You don't see anything that really catches your interest until Rook points out that amongst those trees on one of the adjacent Skylands is some moldering, tumbled-down stone walls. And as you fly in closer, you realize that it is the ruins of a watchtower.
We'll scout the perimeter of this watchtower.
Are you the Joker or the thief, Craig?
Well, if you're obviously the Joker, so I guess that makes me the thief.
And you see the ghosts of women coming and going.
I will fly over there. As,
barefoot servants, too. no, so there's overgrowth all over the ruins of these walls. And there doesn't appear to be anything nearby. Just like the occasional like chittering of a squirrel as you get close. But otherwise, it's just a ruin. You do find like a one of the big pieces of stone that makes up the wall actually has some script carved into it in what you can recognize as primordial. Do either of you speak it?
Or
one of the elemental languages?
Not any of the elementals, no.
In which case it remains inscrutable to you.
Up until I cast Comprehend Languages as a ritual.
Oh my.
Nicely done.
Jeff's previous character had a lot of cool rituals.
Jeff's previous character only had 2 levels of wizard, so she had to go for every spell that she could use readily.
So 10 minutes later, you suddenly realize what it says, which is basically sort of like a dedication cornerstone sort of thing. And it says like, erected 943 at the behest of Runvald, something to the effect of like, may this tower keep watch over all surrounding lands and provide safety for its inhabitants. You know, like a simple for sort of dedication for the tower.
Well, that didn't happen.
Well, At least not recently. I mean, that's something like 500 years ago.
Rook, the tower is 500 years old.
Cool.
So anyway, do you want to play some cards?
Want to head back with the others and play the cards there?
I'm assuming Runevold or whatever you said doesn't pique anything interest in or scratch the itch of going, oh yeah, that's blah, 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 whatever.
It's not a name you recognize.
Okay.
Make note of that, though.
Alec, anything you want to do during the day?
I mean, no. I was assuming we were taking... I mean, an 8-hour rest doesn't need to be sleep, right? We could just
piddle around. Two technicalities. It does. And also, you can only take one long rest per 24 hours.
Oh.
So if we sleep in the afternoon, we can't sleep at night.
Yeah, so you just woke up from a long rest, like... 4 hours ago.
Okay.
So at this point, how far away are we from the city that we were originally going to go to?
From Barlin's Rock?
Barlin's Rock, yes.
Let's see here. About 200 miles.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to still go, there?
Not necessarily, but if we were just sitting around all day and it was within a day's travel, maybe?
I think we practice our... traveling band of musicians and then just call it a day and teleport back to Fair Nexus.
Do any of you actually play instruments?
I can conjure up some music.
Which is almost the same thing.
But no, I don't actually play music. I can also... Oh, well, never mind.
Hey, we're the monkeys. People say we're monkey around.
The Skyland monkeys.
Well, I'll go back to answering your question. I guess I would probably... You said if there are some religion books on religion, I'd probably just be reading those while we, you know, wait.
Sure. Okay. So you end up passing a fairly relaxing day, barbecuing Griffin, reading books, flying around and looking at ruins, like being tourists. At one point in the afternoon, you hear a sort of distant screech that sounds quite a bit like a griffin. But then it doesn't repeat itself and nothing sort of angrily lands in the temple. So
how far off did it sound?
Not nearby.
Okay.
Gentlemen, we could stay here and potentially risk encountering, more griffins coming back home to roost. Or we could, take off and maybe go spend the night in an old watchtower or head back down to where Tristan was and catch some Z's there.
Three letters. B-E-D.
I mean, I kind of refer to the devil you know, right? Like, I don't want to go to some random watchtower when we know this place right now is currently empty.
Yeah, I mean, we could go upstairs where the griffins can't get to, even if they do come back.
Let's do that.
The other thing that would probably occur to Rook at some point is that there's at least one set of intact doors on both entrances. On the one side, the large exterior doors are intact, and you could close those and bar those, and those would probably hold. The interior doors on the entrance that you guys came through are intact. Those probably wouldn't hold against sustained griffin assault, but they would at least slow something down.
Yeah, let's bar up all the doors, because I don't want to fight more griffins today.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Oh, come on. I was going to go sit out. Talk, Troy.
I was just asking what this music was.
This is from Divinity Original Sin 2.
Okay.
As is.
Go ahead, Dave. Or
half of this playlist.
Jeff.
I was going to go sit out on the ledge and eat a giant freaking turkey leg and wait for griffins to come back.
That reminds me of one of the Little House on the Prairie books, the one when they're kids in the forest, and there's Pa kills a bear, and Mary's like, I want the drumstick, and it's like, Mary had no idea how large a bear's drumstick was. So anyway, you end up passing the day peacefully doing various different activities. When night comes, you end up barring those doors, settle in for the night. Is anyone keeping watch, or are you all just, you know, depending on the doors to warn you?
No, we still keep watches.
Okay.
I mean, don't we have a, you know, a person in the party that doesn't really sleep and
Yeah, I with my sentries rest, I'm aware of what's going on while resting.
You want to go sit in front of the statue?
Sure. I guess I can do that. I don't exactly need a bed, so yeah, I'll keep on.
Okay. At one point, not too late into the night, you do hear another griffin screech, and then sort of like a ruffle of feathers fairly close by, but then after a little bit, it seems to go away, and the doors stay silent and shut.
Cool.
So the following morning, you all wake up having had a fairly nice night of rest in these cots that are in the cells. They weren't super comfortable, but they were definitely better than the stone floor.
Fact.
And presumably, you want to rustle up your teleportation circle.
Yup.
I'm going to go ahead and build a, or reassemble Claw.
Okay, sure. Were you also going to ring the bell?
Oh yeah, but not until like we're ready with the teleportation.
Okay. Circle. So are you like telling Alec to ready it in the hallway or something?
Sure. We're just nearby. They're for him.
Oh no. I'm readying the circle at the far end of the hallway and saying, "You've got 5 seconds. Let's go."
Okay. I will be just within, I mean, assuming everybody else is ready to do this, I'll be at a point
I walk over as they're talking about this and ring the bell.
I'm going to throw my hammer at the bell to ring, bring the hammer back and then run towards the teleportation circle.
So Kellen rings it as the spell is still being cast, which rings out loud and clear. And I guess a little bit later, once the circle's ready, you ring it again, except with a hammer directly this time.
And the bell falls on you.
Okay. So you hop on back into that circle, the sound of a bell chasing you out, and with a flash of light and some magical wibbliness, you step out into a room in Iron Rose University where you have been before.
Cool. Let's go talk to a dragon.
Dave, I'd like to cast Sending.
Okay.
Hey, bro.
Hey, girl. Totally cleared that place out for you. Your brother's come to see you. Laters.
We caught about 2 words of that.
Hey, girl.
We got those 2 words.
We cleared the place out for you. Your brother is coming to see you. Laters. 3 words there. Laters.
You get a response, which is that, oh, he's already been here, no thanks to you meddling in our business. Goodness gracious.
We cool, guys. We cool with the whole undead elemental planeteer family. Definitely won't ever be a future problem for us.
Well, I'm just kind of wondering where the fourth is.
Nevthelion.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Are you doing anything at Iron Rose University, or are you just walking straight out and heading towards the Brass Palace?
I'm not going to the Brass Palace.
Yeah, I'll take the basin and start heading for the Brass Palace. You guys coming?
Yeah.
I was just writing down undead planeteers in my list of band names.
The undead planeteers.
But yeah. Rook is going along.
I will go along to see Anthrax the Dragon.
All right.
Or whatever his name was.
So you travel across a few bridges and to different islands amongst the delta in the Vire River, making your way eventually to the long, many-spanned bridge that leads across a particular wide segment of the delta to the Brass Palace, with its very gleaming metallic dome rising over the bay. The guards will once again sort of do the whole rigmarole of who are you here to see, blah, 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 blah. And that takes you a good like half hour or so to get your way through all of the layers of bureaucracy up until you are eventually told that you can have an audience very shortly, in fact. Like, basically, like, you're told, wait until this meeting is finished, and then we'll show you it. And so once that time has passed, the Seneschal, whom you met with earlier, the Goliath, I believe?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
I believe his name is Mogren Redblade. comes out and says, you've returned. A little quicker than I might have expected, but good for you. This way, please. And once again shows you into the large throne room of the Brass Palace with its colonnades on either side and windows with light streaming in through them, and the large throne in the center on a dais. And once again, the...
On a dais.
Well played.
Once again,
the very large brass dragon resting there sort of lowers his head down towards the floor as you approach. You are announced, and Pharanaxis says, rise. It appears, at least I hope, that you come back because you have been successful.
So did you send us down there to deal with a bunch of immortal demigods intentionally?
Pharanaxis's mouth like pulls back in like an approximation of a draconic sort of smile. And he's like, no, but I'm guessing that means that you met the siblings.
Yeah, three of them. Bernholt says hi.
Oh, well, Bernholt was, I always kind of liked Bernholt. But,
he was significantly less of an ass than the others.
75% of the four is not bad for just sort of going down there to find a temple. Well, you did find the temple, right?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Okay. And do we have a deal?
Yeah, we'll pull out the basin and say, is this what you were looking for?
The dragon quickly casts a spell. And appears to be, like, looking over it, examining it, sort of, like, turns his massive head to get one eye pointed down towards the ground where it is, and says, that does indeed appear to be the piece. Excellent. Mogren, could you go fetch the amulet, please? And he heads off towards where it's stored. And in the meantime, Pharanaxis raises his head back up and says, not too much difficulty, I hope. You were only gone.
Have you ever had Griffin?
Not recently, but yes, it's a little too muscly.
Gamey, yeah.
Yeah, need things that, you know, just hang out in pastures more often. Cattle are always best.
I agree. Both Troy and Alec.
In any case,
Has Troy ever tried Griffin?
Man's got a point.
I've had pheasant, that's pretty close, right?
since you brought it up, the siblings, hopefully... You left on amiable terms?
Yeah, two-thirds of them, probably.
I just want to be sure you did not egregiously offend one of them and cause a diplomatic incident or something.
It didn't seem like it.
None of us here did.
Oh, goodness.
They got us...
hang out with that gnome?
No, the siblings got us involved with the other siblings and then wanted to be upset that the other siblings were involved.
Oh, goodness. Diplomacy is not one of the finer arts that they study.
Bernholt said he was going to sort things out with them.
Well, then, I shouldn't worry too much, then.
So what do you know about Anne?
Met her once. Sort of kept to herself quite a bit. Not very talkative. Don't know very much, honestly.
Huh. She's the one we didn't meet.
Not surprising.
Yeah, Bernard said he seemed to think that she may have left.
I do not know. In any case, it appears that you have had an eventful journey. So, bravo on returning in one piece and all that. And thank you for honoring the deal. Speaking of which, as Mogren comes back through, he sort of like extends one claw and that Mogren sort of drops the amulet onto, and then the dragon holds it out towards you, says, here you are.
And make the trade. Thank you very much.
If you ever have any other interest in artifacts that I bought at auction hundreds of years ago and have something interesting to trade for it, hit me up.
You bought this at auction?
Oh, no. Wait. Sorry. Left in a will. That was a different piece.
Well, okay. What other interesting trinkets do you have?
I have a very large treasury.
Do you have a catalog we could peruse?
Well, no. In the meantime, the best of luck on your quest. Give my regards to Rogan Savash and Iron Rose in general. And may all the blessings of the gods follow you, and so forth.
Kellen would like to make two stops, since he's still at Iron Rose University.
Dos. What's up?
First, do I know anyone in the school of evocation?
What school?
Evocation.
I'm sure you probably know a few members of the faculty.
Who's in charge of evocation, Dave?
Steve.
Not Steve.
Steve the Evoker.
No. It is...
I don't know, but I bet the enchanting department is headed up by Tim.
Nice. No, it is actually headed up by Appleby Garrick, who is a forest gnome.
Appleby Garrick, head of evocation. I just want to have a sweet chat with Professor Garrick about the siblings.
Okay. Are you trying to find out something, or are you, like, just having chats?
If they're known, is this a regional thing? Like, just trying to get more information about them. Because to me, it's very weird. Like, coming at this from Kellen, right? Because Kellen would have had a long conversation with Bernholt, and, like... I've raised undead, I understand liches, like this whole pack thing is like not quite religious, but sort of, so I feel like there's a whole metaphysical conversation he would want to have there, like, holy shit, this guy gave them power over elements, that seems crazy. Like, just thinking about someone who's approaching it from a science perspective, quote-unquote, as opposed to a religion perspective.
I lost a
you
bit
did a lot of breaking up there.
I lost a bit of the end of that, but...
science, basically... not magic!
I'm not sure that helped.
Professor Garrick will tell you he's actually quite surprised by all of this. He didn't know about the siblings, and is quite interested to hear you talk about them. And plies you with a good deal of questions as well. Some of which you have answers for, some of which you did not think to ask and have no idea. Yeah, so you spend a good while talking about it, but don't really learn anything new. But you have at least read academic knowledge.
Okay. I have one other stop.
Did we ask Farinaxis if he had any advice on looking for the last amulet?
I don't think so.
Could we retcon that in?
Sure. Basically, he's not going to have anything really to tell you.
Okay.
Because the amulet that he has because it was willed to him, not because he had any particular interest in Nephthalion.
Okay.
And when it sort of disappeared off of the socio-political map, he didn't know anything about these amulets or anything to do with that sort of thing. So.
Okay.
So looking at the amulets we have, mm-hmm. Is there any indication as to which one is which?
No, there's not.
Okay. There haven't been any cool dreams or anything, have there?
So, who has the original one? Nushka does?
Yep.
Okay. And then the one that you got way up north, like, do you have all of them? Or
I think I took both of them. I know I had the second one, and I took the first one from Kellen when he got kicked out of the council chamber or whatever it was.
Okay.
The dragon's chamber.
So Nushka is the keeper of the keys?
I guess so.
Captain, the reason for having two missile keys is so that no one man may. Okay, what was the second stop, Cody?
Well, trying to figure out how you do it in 5e.
Do what?
How do you shadow walk in 5e?
As in flip over to the plane of shadow and go somewhere?
Yes.
I don't know that there is a mechanism for that in 5e.
I don't want to take another fucking boat to Nephthalion, and Troy can't teleport there, so shadow walking seems like a great option.
So you want to look into alternative methods of planar travel?
Yes. Which, again, I'm looking for the 5th ed version of Shadow Walk, which apparently doesn't exist.
Okay.
It is a 6th level sorcerer wizard spell.
Wait, it is?
That's
Shadow Walk.
In 3rd edition.
Oh, is that what you mean, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I just Googled it.
I'm looking for 5th edition. It doesn't look like it's a spell anymore.
Yeah, I Googled 5e and it pulled up 3.5.
No, I'm curious. Shillelagh, shield, shambler. Maybe it wasn't in the PHP. Oh, no, it is. Gotcha. Okay. I have satisfied my curiosity. Go ahead and make an investigation check. How long are you going to spend on it?
Well, see, if shadow walking was a thing, I would assume I would be familiar with it in so much that I would know it was a thing.
I am not going to just sort of magic that spell back into existence. So,
well, I can't help it that 5th ed sucks.
Well, now,
if we just take a boat every goddamn time, then it's just going to be Nephthelli and the Adventures of Boating.
How long do you want to spend?
However long they're gone talking to Farinaxis.
Okay, so a few hours at least.
Sure.
Because they got to walk all the way there and get in and all that sort of stuff. Okay, so digging through a whole bunch of various notes and books and archives, primarily probably in the School of Conjuration, their section of the library, you do come across some tomes that talk about planar travel and non-traditional methods, i.e. not teleportation of any sort, and more like shortcuts through different places. Universally, the answer seems to be that these sort of things exist, but they aren't usually safe. That said, they are a little bit more versatile in some ways.
If you're playing it as conjuration, because the original spell was illusion, then I would just go talk to my buddy Cedric, who was a great experimenter before.
Well, I mean, teleportation is conjuration, isn't it?
Shadow walk is
right,
illusion.
But dealing
well,
with,
okay, yes,
dealing with right. Shadow is illusion.
I'm wondering if plane shift conjuration? Yes, it is. Yeah. So I think it would probably all fall under conjuration. Okay, yeah, if you want to go find Cedric, you probably find that he is in the middle of a lecture. But assuming you come back later when he's done, and look in books in the meantime, while you're looking at books and waiting for him to be done, you find one particular reference that seems a little more promising than some of the others, which is that I have to go look. Did I write this down? Give me a second.
No, it just seems to me like an interesting way to get back to Nephthelli, and that might be shorter, albeit more dangerous and potentially exciting.
Oh.
So.
I thought for a second I dropped out of the chat because it got quiet.
So the funny thing is that the first time I read this, I actually had something sort of similar. And I decided that this time through, I was like, that was too complicated. Let's just nix that. And then you come right out and ask about it.
It's a way to travel far distances.
Yeah.
And we can fight whole new planar beings we've never fought before.
There's one particular bit of lore I'm trying to find / remember. And I'd rather spend the time to get it right than have to correct myself later.
That music is so subtle, I can only hear it when there are lulls in the conversation.
If you want to, you can actually adjust the volume for yourself under settings.
Oh.
So set it to your preference.
Talking so I don't get booted.
Yep.
Ah, there it is. Okay. So what was your investigation check? What did it turn out to be?
Oh, shit. I don't know that I ever rolled it, if I'm honest. I'm not 100% sure. I don't remember rolling.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Just go ahead and roll now.
It's a 25.
Okay. So you spend like an hour or so during Cedric's lecture rooting through different books and eventually find one reference that leads you to a different book and you start digging through and think that you find the most promise in a combination of two different concepts. One of which is the use of certain plinths / monoliths.
Venthyr dolmen.
Sure. That when, like, there, like, it's an older sort of druidic sort of magic. That, but basically, some of these in certain places and at certain times can form like gates to different planes. The most common method being to walk around them three times in three sunwise circles at dusk or dawn. And I mean, that part is mostly just because, hey, that gets you to another plane without having to class plane shift.
Right.
The other part to this whole puzzle is Pandemonium, specifically the layer of Cocytus, the second layer of Pandemonium, the one that is filled with shrieking, howling winds, perpetually, that drives creatures mad and all that sort of thing. However, in, there is sort of like the legend of a place called Harmonica on the plane of Cocytus, which is supposedly a hub of various tunnels and is like one big pillar of stone in a cavern. And all of these tunnels in this pillar essentially form is like holes in a harmonica so that all of the wind whistling around makes, you know, actual weird music.
Huh.
But all of those tunnels and everything inside that pillar are also like doorways to a whole bunch of different places. Then it's some sort of like key to like anywhere you want to go. Almost there will be a door that goes there.
Cool. Cool.
Kind of like if Sigil were in a very scary place and uncontrolled.
Cool. So in conversation with Cedric, are either one of these methods of travel honestly viable?
Are either what?
Methods of travel honestly viable to get to Nephthelion.
Cedric is intrigued by the idea. Will reiterate that it is definitely on the risky side. But has heard of a few plinths in the area, like within riding distance of Nephthelion. Usually because someone stumbles on one by accident and bad things happen, that sort of thing. As far as Cocytus and Harmonica go, he will sort of caution that Harmonica is not really, you know, academically verified. It is still a bit of a legend. So if you were to go there, there's no guarantee that you'd find it.
So for these druidic circles, do you need an exit on the other side? Like, would we need another plinth near Nephthelion for it to function correctly?
His guess is that probably there would be, you know, some other, that other plinths would be other markers that you could exit through.
Does it say whether or not the plinths are markers in on both sides of the planar travel?
As in, are they two-way?
Yes, but also if we walked across, say, the plane of fire or whatever the hell, could we actually see another plinth on the other side, or would we have to know where it is?
Oh, no, it's probably not that there would be plinths on other planes, more like if you were on another plane and had a way to come back that you could come back through a plinth.
But the thought is if we go to, if we use the plinth to go to another plane, it would still take a planar shift to come back.
Take a what?
It would still take planar shift to come back.
Well, I mean, that's one way to do it, but that's part of why the idea of Harmonica had potential, because you could just go through a door there, theoretically.
Jeff, you want to go to Pandemonium? I mean,
I have no issue with taking a boat again.
Me either.
Think of the content.
Okay, but we still don't even know where we're going yet.
Nephthelion.
We're going to Duvrod. No, we're going to Duvrod.
Yeah, we're going to Duvrod. That's where they said the other key was. At least they assume was going to at the time.
Yep,
that's probably fair. Let's go find another goddamn boat.
I am sending one amulet with Salundur to Mirael in Duvrod. He He will understand the importance and devote himself to this higher task, I am certain. I told him to ask at the Satin Dagger. I hope Mirael is still staying there.
Yeah, so we can teleport to Duavrat, correct?
Sure. Yeah, you ended up learning the sigils for the runes at the teleportation circle there.
That's oh, I didn't I think he did.
Well, the university has it.
Well, also, when you learn the spell teleportation circle, you automatically start knowing two circles. And
yeah.
Iron Rose and Duavrod were the two that were most logical.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we chose those two just in case we needed to jump there for reason or another.
Well, fuck it. If we're not buying any magical items or supplies, let's just go to Duavrod right now.
I'm assuming you said, let's go right now.
I'm just going to start yelling in the mic. Does that help, Jaff?
Not really.
Actually, yeah, that was perfectly yeah. understandable.
It helps us. It probably will kill Schroeder.
Yes, it will.
I wish we knew what was going on.
But you know, I kind of wonder what Cody's saying.
All right. Well, after researching for a few hours and talking with Cedric and so on, eventually, probably the party returns to Iron Rose, where you can meet up and discuss your various findings and what you want to do next.
Teleport.
I mean, should the question that we be like trying to research is, do we know somebody who can whisk us away just like Tristan did? Wouldn't that be a, you know, safer mode?
I know magic isn't really your thing, but it doesn't work like that.
What do you mean?
Like, that's not normal.
Yeah, anybody who's got enough power to just do that, I really don't want to put that much faith in them.
Okay.
I would rather risk shadow walking, which is not a thing in this version of 5th Ed, than to do another deal with a demigod.
I could rustle up some devils for you. Is that more?
I mean, I can rustle up some of my own if you give me some time. Let me borrow 999 gold from the party and I can rustle up my own. But yeah, Troy, I don't think you want to be indebted to him.
Indebted to who?
Anyone who's that powerful that can ignore some of the rules of the laws of magic.
Look at that face. Dave is ready for you to make that deal.
No, 100%. I mean, I just need to swap out a spell. 999 gold. I can call a devil of my own.
They are low CR, though.
Six.
Well, is Duavrod the plan, then?
Do we have anything else here that we need to do? I think we're good at this point.
I think
so. We can sit here and chill and have a day to sit and drink or whatever and then head out, or we can go now.
Do we have any leads on Duavrod yet?
The name of the inn or tavern or whatever it was.
Yeah, that couple sentences I just read a little bit ago.
I think I have a library card there too.
Sorry, I'm not retaining information tonight.
Kira sent an amulet with an elf named Salundur to Mirael in Duavrod and told him to ask at a place called the Satin Dagger.
Okay, thank you for the reminder.
Mm-hmm.
I've got no almost 10,000 in gold to spend like last time we were here.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Troy?
Yeah.
Make it so.
Number one.
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
I think I might have an idea. I don't know if it'll work, but we'll cross that bridge when we need to get there.
I like it. I like it. Write it down. Make a note. I've changed the sensitivity of my mic, so hopefully I'm not clipping anymore.
It actually does sound better.
Yeah, it does.
I could literally wiggle my nose, and it would probably set off the sensitivity of the mic now.
So... you get a little bit more temperature whiplash as you are jumping about. This morning in the Greensong Isles, it was like 79 degrees, still raining, very muggy. Valakur is 57 degrees and raining with a slight breeze. And when you end up in Duavrod a couple hours later, it's 62, no wind, and no rain.
Brisk.
I'm not hungry. I already ate, thanks.
Thank you for the weather update.
Probably feels pretty nice compared to the muggy rain you've been in for more than a week. And once you step out of the university in Duavrod, you are once again back on the streets with the big canal running through the city, the castle up on the hill overlooking it, and new possibilities. And that's probably a good place to leave it for now.
Door of Rad. Door of Rad. Our title track, They Left Me In Here, was composed by Daniel Rann as part of the Beyond Skyrim Bruma original soundtrack and is being utilized under Creative Commons 4 Attribution Sharealike license. Enjoy what you heard? Check us out online at rancorsbrothel.com and the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this show with your friends. Want to chat? Follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel or by emailing therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. To interact with other fans, check out the Fans of the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.